Meeting to order. Welcome to everyone this evening, and glad you made the trip upriver. For those of you who came from below and downriver, from, I think there's only one. Miriam, where are you?
Canterbury.
You're upriver.
I'm down.
Yeah. You're down, but you traveled up.
I traveled up.
Yeah.
I live downriver, but I come upriver.
You have a copy of the agenda. I would like to propose that we remove the student leadership conference support item from the agenda. We're not going to need to look at that. And we have an item we need to add under new business, travel claim protocol. Aside from those two items, are there any other changes?
Do we need to add at the end motion to move in camera? I'm not sure what.
Yes. A motion to move in camera at the end of the meeting as well. Aside from those three items, is there anything else? I say approval by consent, and the minutes of the meeting of August 25th. You had a chance to have a look at those. Are there any errors or omissions?
Under business arising from the minutes, letters had been written in June to the vacant sub-district school, parent support committees, and First Nation chiefs seeking their interest in serving on the District Education Council. I think it was more along the lines of seeking their interest in submitting names of those interested in serving on the District Education Council. That's how I remember it.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
I can show that to you, Carol.
See a couple of you looking for things. Are you all right with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else from the minutes? Okay, approval by consent then for the minutes. Business rising from the minutes. So we have our planning cycle. You all have a copy of that. And that's not this. This is our meeting schedule.
Oh, on the screen.
Oh, there it is.
Are you doing that motion? No. Okay. Mark, were you going to address that?
Yeah, I would just like to make a motion based on the previous discussion that we make some changes to our planning cycle, and that is to delete from October but remain in June policy CSR6, and then policy ER1 move from October to September, and policy ER4 moved from October to September. Policy ER6 moved from January to December. Policy ER7 moved from October to November. And delete second report from April. Policy EL2 moved from January to March. Policy EL4 moved from September to October, and others remain the same. Policy EL6 move from September to January, and others remain the same. Policy EL7 move from September to January, and others remain the same. Policy EL8 delete from June and remains in November. And parent support training move from October to September plan, and that's the report on parent support training.
get a seconder?
I'll second.
Andrew has seconded that, Andy. And we decided when you weren't around that you were going to be Andy and he was going to be Andrew, so if I can remember, that will be all right.
Question, Madam Chair. The document we have in front of us, does that reflect those changes that...
This is a...
The one in paper? No.
Yes.
Then I received the new one.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
In anticipation of that motion, we prepared a draft.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So... We have a motion, it's been seconded. Are there any questions on that? A lot of movement of policies, but it looks like it's going to provide us with a smoother year. Could we have a vote? All in favor of making those changes to our planning cycle, signify with aye.
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 Any contrary? Nay? Thank you. So you now have a copy of the correct new planning cycle.
Chairperson, if I may, by just information, that cycle is a part of GT6, and people are wondering where it fits in our budget.
Right. Maybe in one of our sessions where we have some extra time, we'll be able to take the folder and go through it and make sure everybody has things in the right places. I would certainly benefit from that. Can we have a look at the meeting schedule? There is one change to be made in the paper copy that you have that I'm aware of, and that is that October the 25th is a Tuesday. And we're not changing the calendar.
We're not changing the Gregorian calendar, is that correct?
If I might add, there are a few dates in there. This would be in draft form, pending the outcome of your approval of the presentation that I'm going to make soon.
Okay. So could I have a motion to approve this pending the approval of all the things that are in it?
I so move.
Moved by Miriam. Seconder? Seconded by Sean. All in favor, signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary-minded, nay. Thank you. So, we're into what we've called the Leo Hayes Implementation Plan. It is the implementation of the proposal that we accepted last year for reducing the population at Leo Hayes High School.
So I prepared a plan that I hope meets with your approval. It rolls out as follows. Here in the rest of September and early into October, it would be my intention to meet with the appropriate office staff to review the Ernst & Young report regarding Leo Hayes, that document from December of 2015, to review the DEC subcommittee report, the PowerPoint report that the subcommittee presented, and to have a look at recent enrollment numbers, and basically get together with staff either once or twice to review this information and to brainstorm some ideas about grandfathering as well. I think the next step after that that would be important is to hear from the public, hear from the stakeholders from those communities, and I would like to propose three public meetings. I tried to pick three places that might capture the impacted areas the most. And I picture these meetings being similar meetings, similar agenda, similar topic conversations, but naturally with a different audience each time. I'm sure the feedback and the comments will differ, but all with the same theme. So I'm proposing October 13th, the first public meeting at Nashwauk Valley Elementary School, November 9th, the second public meeting at Keswick Valley Memorial School. And November 28th, the third public meeting at Leo Hayes High School. So as I mentioned, all three of these meetings would share the same format. They'd allow the opportunity for public feedback. And a cohort of DEC members would certainly attend each meeting. We could decide the best way to chair that meeting or to coordinate that meeting. If you as council would like to chair and have myself and staff support, or if you'd like for me to chair, and you be a part of the audience to watch and to listen, either way would work. I think the most important outcome of those three meetings would be to offer an explanation to the public and to gather their feedback. On December 8th, we have a public DEC meeting. At that time, I would like to be able to offer recommendations based on a review of the data and a count of the conversations from stakeholders. So naturally, between November 28th and December 8th, I'll meet again with the team and try and put together a document, recommendations for your consideration. Then on January 12th, we have a working session scheduled, a great time for councillors to dig in deep, to ask questions, to review recommendations and engage in discussions. And then on January 26th, at our public meeting, to confirm plans for the catchment areas, changes that have already been passed. If changes are in order, to consider those changes at that time. So to have things wrapped up by the end of January. And then, of course, we would have February to June for me to work with the DFA and with the directors of schools and with the transportation team to coordinate any changes that that have been finalized, to provide some formal communication. And then as we get closer to the end of the year, from April to June, to see our district and school staff meeting with parents as needed to clarify the changes that are relevant to their children. I know we've experienced different ways of sharing that information in the past with school closures. And although we're not talking about school closures now, I think there was some benefit when our transportation team went right out to the school and allowed for individual meetings and were able to call up the maps on the computer screen and show them the distances and the times. So we would plan something appropriate there. With September of 2017, changes coming into effect, taking into account any grandfathering that's put in place. So that's an outline, an implementation plan that I present to you tonight for your consideration.
I would speak and say that I think this is a good, firm plan that opens the world up to a whole lot of discussion and input and allows us an opportunity to hear from the public.
I kind of mirror her comments. The only thing that kind of jumped up to me, I noticed that the January 26th meeting is scheduled for Woodstock. Given that that's going to be the meeting to discuss a decision about a school effect in the Fredericton area, would it make sense to either change the date so that it's in, or we just change the locations for two? I'm just thinking it's winter, so pretty bad weather, so
sure.
It's within, it might be better idea.
Excellent point. We could flip-flop information in public for January.
So info is Woodstock?
Info could be Woodstock and public could be Fredericton. Mm-hmm. I see our members of the public tonight are mostly from Fredericton, if I'm Fredericton area, if I'm correct, or maybe not.
Nackawick.
Pardon me?
Nackawick.
Were you here when we were discussing whether Nackawick was closer?
Oh, that was another conversation. Woodstock or Fredericton?
Okay.
Bristol. That's a great point.
Madam Chairperson?
Yes, Mark, sorry.
I think it's an excellent plan, and if you need a motion, I'd make one.
If I have a plan about the plan?
If you need a motion for it, or?
Yes, would be nice to have a motion.
Okay, so I would move that the superintendent, David McTimony, conduct public consultation based on the Leo Hayes High School catchment area implementation plan presented.
With the change for?
Well, the change is in our calendar. We'd have to make another motion and go back to that calendar. So if we approve this, then we could, then the chair could opt to entertain a motion to change the plan.
Mark, I'll second that motion.
Yes. Moved by Mark and seconded by Jane. Any conversation?
Just only, I think it's a great plan, and I think in my motion I said I had specified the superintendent conduct it only because he mentioned the options. I think it'd be great if our superintendent conducted. We're always there if we're asked for input or whatever, and I'm sure the superintendent wouldn't mind that. So that's all I'd like to see. I think it's a great plan, and glad we're moving forward.
Okay.
Question.
All in favor, signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary-minded, if so intended. Thank you. So before I lose track of what we're doing, we should move back to our meeting schedule then. And I would entertain a motion that we flip the information session and public meeting for January, having the public meeting on January the 12th in Fredericton.
No, 26th in Fredericton.
I misunderstood.
Oh, public? Did you say public or information?
The public would be in Fredericton, the private, the information would be in Woodstock.
So we're just switching the places?
Yeah. Switching the places.
Not the
schedule,
yeah.
No.
Are you looking at me because you can't understand why I didn't understand that? Okay, so I need a motion.
So moved.
What are you moving, Mark?
I am moving that our January 26th public meeting will be held in Fredericton, and that our information session on January the 12th will be held in Woodstock.
Thank you. Seconder?
I second.
I would like to make a comment on the motion.
Okay, seconded by Miriam. Now you can make your comment.
It would be my recommendation to those that be that in future consultation meetings, PSSC meetings, not be put in our meeting schedule, only because our meeting schedule has to be approved.
Right.
But public consultation meetings don't necessarily always, for example, if we have a storm day, technically to move it one day has to come back to the table if it's in this calendar. If it's move that, David conducts it, and these are the approximate dates, it just gives flexibility putting it in this, formalizing those things. It's good to have a calendar, but I would leave extra stuff besides our meetings. That's just my opinion, but that's just, you know.
Good point. You know the motion on the floor. Any other further questions? All in favor signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary-minded, nay. Thank you. So, you're all aware that we have had Ernst & Young prepare a report on the Southside schools in Fredericton, and this may be what anyone from Hanwell might be interested in hearing about.
Definitely.
Like sometimes.
So I can tell you that Ernst and Young, as the consultant firm, in particular Kevin Doucette, who you might be familiar with from the past, has been working very, very hard on this project, short timeline, and he is nearing the completion of his report. He has asked if he could, or he has offered to present it to you as a council. He said the presentation would be about 2 hours in length. I know that we've talked about this in the past, and to fit that into a public deck meeting might be might make it a little bit lengthy. So we talked a little bit about having a public meeting where that's the sole agenda item, and we looked at the potential of that happening on Monday, October the 24th, in Fredericton, at Fredericton High, a two-hour presentation from Kevin Doucette of Ernst & Young, where he will present the findings, or he will present his report on the study of the Southside schools in the city of Fredericton.
When was that date again?
Monday, October the 24th. So the schools on the south side within the city of Fredericton include Liverpool Elementary School, Forest Hill Elementary School, Bliss Carman Middle School, Montgomery Street Elementary School, New Maryland Elementary School, Priestman Street Elementary School, Fredericton High School, George Street Middle School, Connaught Street Elementary School, Garden Creek Elementary School, and Kingsclear Elementary School. Incorporated in the study, I can tell you right up front, includes the conversations about Hanwell. He knows that that's been a conversation at our table for a year or so now, so he's taken that into account within his study. I think I missed any schools.
No, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the new members are aware, but just in case, the presentation from the people of Hanwell is on the portal and it was attached to tonight's agenda. So if you haven't had a chance to have a look at that,
the author's in the back of the room there. And
that's what it looks like.
Great.
So, do we see any issues with the date of Monday, October the 24th? In that meeting schedule. So, do we need a motion to have them come and speak to us?
No.
Moving on to new business, we had moved into format last year of offering PSSC training in a couple of centers rather than trying to do it in all of our schools or in all of our zones. So we're looking at the same thing again for this year. Jane has offered to take the lead on the Fredericton training, and Sheila has offered to take the lead on the training at Carlton North. Miriam or Carol.
Carol said she'd do it.
Will contact the schools in Canterbury and Nakawick to make them aware of both dates.
Yes.
Because people could go to either one.
Yes.
And the same is true. You know, if you have people that work in Fredericton, and want to go to the presentation in Fredericton rather than go to the one at Carleton North, that's fine as well. I don't think we'll be overrun
nope.
by the one. So the dates and locations, David, for those.
So we're looking at Fredericton. Fredericton Oromocto session at Gibson Neal Memorial Elementary School.
The Gnome School.
On October 20th, Thursday, October 20th at 6:30 p.m. To be chaired by Jane. And then the Woodstock PSSC orientation to be held at Carleton North High School on October 25th. That's a Tuesday, October 25th at 6:30 p.m. Co-chaired by Sheila and Andy.
Yes, Mark.
I just wanted to say for those that are new, if you have some of your people that can't make it to both, I mean, we can hold another training if we had enough interest, and we can hold it in another location. So don't say this is it, or you know, we can give you the material. You can go to the school and do it with them. Like there's lots of options. This is not. But these, we do want to push everyone towards these dates. This is an efficient way to do it. But you know, if someone comes to you,
yeah,
we've got training material and we can hold one in another location if we had to.
Yeah. So I'll probably send a message to the principals or chairs of the schools in my zone and let them know that I would be willing to arrange a training in the Stanley, Doaktown, or Boys Town area. Or Nashua Valley. Yeah.
So I could put out a general message to all principals and carbon copy you, and then if you want to take that message and forward it to your own schools and make any offers, then
that would be very helpful.
That'd be.
Yeah.
Would you do that for each of us, or how? What are you saying?
Well, what I would do is I would write a message to all principals, and then in the carbon copy line I'd put all DEC, and then I would just outline the two PSSC orientation nights and ask for principals to ensure that their PSSCs are aware of these opportunities. And then from that, if you want to email your sub-district, you can say, further to what David mentioned, if you're unable to make it or if there's enough interest, I'm happy to blah, blah, blah.
I wonder if both the areas where we don't have a representative yet.
They should contact Kim for sure.
Sure.
You could send a message to all of them, letting them know that if you want. We'll work something out with that. So we've asked David to get together a 5-minute presentation on district demographics. and Jane's going to time him, but it's not started yet. So
this I first made this presentation when I was a deer in the headlights superintendent in September of 2012. Some of you might remember that, but I thought the timing was good to revise that presentation and share it with you here tonight. I will go back in history a little bit though, just so that some of you remember that it was back in January of 2012, the then Minister of Education, Early Childhood Development announced that there would be a major reorganization of the 14 school districts of the day. It was, he said that it was to provide a more efficient and effective structure for schools, to provide a quality learning environment for its students in light of ongoing changes in student demographics and fiscal accountability. And the magic day happened on July 1st, 2012. 9 Anglophone districts merged into 4, and 5 Francophone districts merged into 3. And the birth of Anglophone West School District. It's the official name, by the way, is Anglophone West School District, even though it doesn't match the acronym of ASDW. A lot of people get that confused, but officially it's called the Anglophone West School District. And it is a combination of former districts 14, 17, and 18. There are, as I mentioned, four Anglophone, the north, south, east, and west, the office of the superintendent, which is considered the main office of each district. And the south is in St. John, the east in Moncton, the west in Fredericton, and the north in the city of Miramichi. And education support centers, those are sub-offices, are found throughout. Of course, we're here tonight in Woodstock at one. The office of the superintendent and the Fredericton Education Center are the same complex, that one downstairs hallway of Fredericton High. And if you haven't been to the Oromocto Ed Center, it's similar. It's actually two hallways as a part of Oromocto High School. Here's the map. You can see that we're pretty big geographically. There are the ones in blue. Lots of communities there. We have 69 schools. There were 76 at the time of amalgamation in 2012. And in the last 4 years, there have been schools that have closed in favor of moving students to other schools, schools that have closed to come as a merger, and schools that have closed in favor of moving into a brand new school. Our schools by sub-district, of course the sub-districts where you're elected, range in size as small as four schools and as many as seven schools. It's interesting to look at the schools by grade configuration as well. K to 12 schools, we have six of them. And you'll notice we have 5 6 to 12 schools and 8 9 to 12 schools. So we have 19 high schools in our school district. I put a little asterisk by the K to 2 and 3 to 5. In the town of Oromocto, I'm going to say it was about 7 or 8 years ago, Mark, you might remember, maybe even 10 years ago, where the four elementary schools reconfigured. And the four elementary schools are all within a 2-kilometer radius within the town limits. They reconfigured from K to 5 schools to be 2 K to 2 schools and 2 3 to 5 schools. I put a star there because in actual fact the additional schools include Forest Hill Elementary School, which is actually K to 1, and the corresponding school is Liverpool Street Elementary School, which is grades 2 to 5. The seventh school is a K to 2 school, Burton Elementary, that has 3 classrooms.
September 2012 is when it started.
2002?
Yeah.
Long time ago. Transportation. This data is a little bit off the beaten trail because we're pulling it from a configuration that we've used historically, in that as we are trying to balance things, Oromocto took on the responsibility of Harvey, McAdam, Boys Town, and Doaketown. So it didn't really align with the Oromocto Center, Fredericton Center, but it just shows you a little bit of information. You can see the approximate number of kilometers per day that are driven in our school district. That's looking to be over 30,000 kilometers a day. The number of bus routes, and basically it's about 72% of our students ride the bus. We have 264 bus drivers. I mentioned we have 69 schools and an additional 8 buildings in our care. For instance, this one being an example, we have some bus areas and some maintenance buildings. 52 of our 69 schools were built prior to 1980. 5 schools built in the 80s, 3 schools built in the 90s, 3 schools built in the first decade of the year 2000, and then 6 schools that I would call new built in the last 5 or 6 years. We have 481 capital improvement projects that are identified with an estimated cost of $60.5 million. That number shouldn't cause panic or incite fear. It just means that if we had an endless budget and we took care of every single capital project that was on our books and brought every single school to I'll say, almost new looks, then that's what it would take, about 481 projects in the amount of $60.5 million. That number has come down since I made this presentation 4 years ago, and that in part is due to some brand new schools. And we have 138.8 custodial staff. Sorry, I didn't go back and fix my XX. It'd be 69 minus 15, so it would be 54 schools. And then we have 15 schools that are contracted cleaning schools. So they're not district employees as a part of the cleaning staff. They're contracted out for cleaning services. We have 32 maintenance repair personnel. We've already talked about budget in August. We have a $209,966,000 global budget. An additional $1.641 million was added after June, you might recall, due to the Syrian newcomers after June to support pressures. We have a revenue sharing model with our self-sustaining dollars. So self-sustaining dollars are dollars that come in the form of revenue. Revenue from cafeteria sales, revenue from facility rentals, and revenue from international student tuition. That is just under $2 million in balance. A good portion of that we need to have in reserve for major repairs that could occur and aren't covered under a global budget. A few statistics about employees and students. In February of last school year, we were at 1,629 teachers. As we started this year, it's at 1,672. There was a considerable investment that was attached to the 10-year education plan to support literacy and numeracy and classroom positive learning and working environment. 502 EAs in January. We're projecting this to be about 535 this year. 2,861 employees in total. That was the count on January of 2016. We have about 1,000 casual employees. Of course, we work in an organization where if an employee is absent, most of the time that employee needs to be replaced, most notably a teacher or a bus driver, an EA as well. So our official enrollment for last year was 22,874. Official enrollment is the number on September 30th of 2015. So I can't tell you our official enrollment for this year, but I can tell you that we are projecting an increase in students when you compare it to the 22,874. Again, nothing can be confirmed, and I might say to you this time next month it's a little bit less, but as we're number crunching and watching the numbers this month leading up to September 30th, we're projecting an increase in students when it comes to a final number on September 30th, 2016.
Questions? Seeing no questions, you must have done a good job.
Thank you.
So moving right along to the 10-year education plan, and it's over to Jane.
I asked for this to be on the agenda because it's new, because it just was presented, and I feel that we should be not necessarily looking at every line item in it, but I think that as a District Education Council, we need to acknowledge that it exists, and we may need to make a comment here and there over the next year about progress and how it's happening. And the only thing that I've gone through it a couple of times, you know, I've read it and things like that. And the thing that goes missing in government reports that I read over the years is, I mean, they talk about key areas of focus, but it's difficult for a layperson who's not sitting in a government office to see the difference between a focus and an action. So when we talk about the literacy and the numeracy skills for all learners, we know that in Anglophone West we've had some struggles over the last several years with our statistics and things like that, and we've made changes. We've made changes to the reporting process, we've made changes to the assessment process, and we've made changes to things that will reflect for everybody to see. So I guess I just want to make that point so that we can be aware moving forward that this doesn't necessarily change the information from last year to this year. We still want higher numeracy skills, we still want higher literacy skills, and we still are focusing on literacy and numeracy mentors. What we're not focusing on that I'm seeing yet is a plan of action if a student does not meet the minimum requirement at the end of a school year, a plan of action going forward of what they're going to do the next year to keep up. So I just wanted to make that point, and I just feel that it's necessary to have the 10-year education plan somewhere on our agenda and in our minutes.
Madam Chairperson?
Yes.
I'm just wondering, more probably a question for our superintendent, but is there any expected changes at a district education plan level or the school implementation education plan level or improvement plan level because of this 10-year plan? Because this 10-year plan seems a little different than other plans that the province has put out, and they've expected our outcomes
a lot
with their outcomes.
Well, one of the concepts that seems to be getting public attention is the fact that the plan has left it somewhat open with respect to action that's going to occur to meet the goals that are listed in the plan, and so the concept is that the Department of Education, together with districts and schools, are going to work together to develop yearly implementation plans to be working towards those goals. It's been made very clear to us that in these first couple of years, K-2 literacy, K-2 numeracy, and a positive learning and working environment, as well as early childhood, are the priorities that are being addressed first. There was an investment made in staff and in teachers to help support classroom teachers at these grade levels. As recent as a few hours ago, Jay and I were in meetings with the directors and superintendents and directors from the Department of Education and the ADM. To talk about a variety of things within the 10-year ed plan, so it's certainly high on a priority list. I know in our planning cycle we have 2 months set aside where we plan for curricular presentations, and I hope that in at least one of those we might take that focus of, you know, early years literacy or early years numeracy, and link it to the 10-year ed plan. I don't know if that answers your question, Mayor.
Okay.
I have a question related to the plan. It talks about, in the plan, there's a number of measurement or metrics that they intend to implement. It's major progress. And a lot of those dates are later in the school year or into the next calendar. Is there a plan to progress update with the public or with the DEX at least?
Once a year, there's a release of the results from provincial assessment from the year before. Within this plan, they talk about two areas where we're looking at collecting data, and it's within formative assessment and balanced literacy. And it hasn't been decided exactly what that looks like yet, but that's separate. What will continue is an annual provincial assessment program. The provincial assessments themselves may change a little bit as time goes on, and we're seeing the grade 6 assessment now, having just finished its second year, and the grade 2 assessment is carrying on. We'll be looking ahead to grade 10. I'm taking a chance right now talking without that document in front of me, but the grade 9 English Language Arts Proficiency exam will continue as a graduation requirement. So that still occurs, and there's still a public release by the minister, and then in turn still an opportunity to present to you. We usually see that in the planning cycle with ER2, Academic Excellence.
Okay.
So we're slated for November there.
I just have one more question. So with the focus on the early years of literacy and numeracy, if I remember correctly, some of those assessment early year things changed to random sampling versus full body provincial students.
It went from Jay, you might have to help me out here. I know that the writing assessment is no longer, the grade 2 writing assessment is no longer assessed or marked anymore, and the reading assessment is what's conducted. But I'm pretty sure it's whole scale at grade 2, but it's just reading now, and it's easier to mark the reading the way they assess
it. It's easier to pass, too.
Well, if you're good at reading, yes.
And the numeracy?
Numeracy took a new look. Grade 5 numeracy is now gone, and it's a grade 6 assessment. Grade 6 assessment is actually numeracy, literacy, and science all in one.
All right. Oh, and I remember now, because when I learned about this in the first place, the difficulty I was having with it was going from a elementary school to a middle school without the assessment and without potentially anything in place for those students who didn't meet the grade, and they would be in a new school.
Right, well, when they get the results, the schools will, whoever gets the results, you know, have that responsibility to analyze them and make a plan.
So we could possibly look at either a December or February program curricular presentation being one on what's going on with.
Sure. Maybe a 10-year plan overview,
yeah,
if you'd like. Yeah.
We want to leave that until later and decide on it. Okay. Does that answer all your questions? Travel claim protocol. So having a few new people on and more expected on council, and just wanting to clarify the protocol around travel claims. I think we have a motion.
Here it is.
You want to read it?
I move that the DEC travel protocol will follow that of the provincial policy on travel, specifically regarding DEC-related meetings and invitations until a policy is approved by the council, notwithstanding that regular meeting travel is covered automatically and other travel needs to be approved by the chair. That's my motion. Move that the DEC travel protocol will follow that of provincial policy on travel, specifically regarding deck-related meetings and invitations until a policy is approved by the council, a formal policy, let's say. Notwithstanding that regular meeting travel is covered automatically and other travel needs to be approved by the chair.
May I ask a clarification before it comes to the floor?
Yeah.
Sure.
So the first part mentions invitations.
Yeah.
Are you saying that does that motion mean that those invitations have to be pre-approved by the chair?
Potentially, yes.
That's what you're implying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Any conversation? Any discussion?
I would just like to read into the minutes this document requirements for reimbursement. Just members must be attending a meeting or event in an official capacity as a DEC. A member should be representing DEC with an active role, such as participating in a meeting, making a speech, or delivering a presentation. And this would be in reference to invitations. Travel must be directly related to the work of the DEC, may be claimed for meetings and work undertaken in partnership with the department. Travel to be reimbursed by the Council of DEC Chairs must be pre-approved by the DEC manager. Expenses related to professional development must be pre-approved, and DEC members must have a pre-approval for travel expenses outside the district. So those would just be some of the bullet points that we would be using to refer to this and moving forward, putting a policy together.
So, again, moving forward, until we have our policy committee in place, then that's the intention of this motion. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Madam Chair, is it your intention to use that checklist as a guide when we ask for permission? Is that
Yes, it is. And ultimately, it is the responsibility of the council to approve travel requests, so it could come back to the council.
Hearing question,
all in favor signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary minded? Thank you.
I wrote it.
So, the most exciting part of our evening.
Do I see a little humor in that?
Thank you for the compliment.
Very little.
I need to say that I had to use the superintendent's monitoring reports twice last week in requests for things from the department. So it's good to have them and good to be listening to them when they're being presented.
So the first one is DEC Policy ASDWER1 Mission Statement. And as you're aware, we have a mission statement. And the mission statement is excited, involved, and prepared. Those three words mean a lot to us in Anglophone West. They're complemented as well by a vision statement and a set of core values. And all of that is documented on a nice poster I can show you here. Rotate clockwise. So this is our poster that we like to see throughout the school district. So our mission, our vision, and our set of core values. So I'll go back to duties view. I'm sure there was an easier way to do this. I try my best to make reference to our mission, vision, and core values throughout the year when I'm speaking with teachers and principals and colleagues within the district. When you consider our district improvement plan, which is posted on our website, that plan has been developed taking into account our core values and mission and vision statement. We actually monitor our DIP, the District Improvement Plan, regularly. The subject coordinators, we have a team does that monitoring under the direction of the Director of Curriculum Instruction and our Directors of Schools and the Director of Education Support Services. And the coordinators will also prepare their annual work plan, linking it to the goals of the District Improvement Plan. Likewise, there are school improvement plans. Our schools all have that responsibility. And we have some staff that are focused on supporting schools when it comes to SIPs, in particular, the Supervisor of Data and Accountability and the corresponding Director of Schools. So principals will often get feedback from these educational leaders to help ensure that that their improvement planning is moving along. We are Supervisor of Data and Accountability, and I should tell you, maybe you noted it on a recent announcement of change in staff. I know that this council loves Gina Dunnett to death and as the Data and Accountability Supervisor, but I can tell you that Gina has changed positions, and she's taken a 2-year position with us. There's a new position called an Alignment Champion that has been added to our plan of establishment. Each district was provided with an Alignment Champion to work with the Department Priority Unit Champion, who's now Nancy Boucher, the former ADM, to focus on moving our district forward, specific on those goals within the 10-year education plan related to K-2 literacy and numeracy. So the whole world of priority units, and I know I'm a little bit off topic now, is really changing, and Gina has made that move to us, for us, and our new director, or our new supervisor of data and accountability is Susan Young. We, as a team, and I try to stay current on the successes and the areas of need for our schools within our district. Positive communication, professional learning, we want to continue to focus on that. I will start up the monthly conference call series and policy series again this year in an attempt to maintain that state of current affairs. We have our culture committee that's focused on the continually shaping the positive changes within our organization, as well as a leadership committee that supports me in that liaison with the 69 principals within our district. So that's my report on ER1, the mission statement.
Mark?
Just a clarification on the cultural committee.
Yes.
All schools are represented?
No.
Okay.
The culture committee is a district committee that comprises of, I'm going to say, 12 to 14. Are you on that committee, Jay?
No.
No. And it's a cross-section of district office staff, educational leaders, management leaders, principals, vice principals. It's a cross-section up and down our district. And it's our ultimate goal to merge the culture committee with the leadership committee to have a combined focus there. Chaired by Director Tanya Whitney and Director Catherine Blaney.
Any other questions on that?
So the next report is actually one that's similar in nature. It's DEC policy ASDWER4 on vision and beliefs. So I tend to repeat a little bit of, you know, and you'll see as the appendix, this is the same mission, vision, and core values that we're so proud of. The policy, the DEC policy, goes in a little bit deeper and talks about beliefs, including that all children can learn, learning being a lifelong process, education being a shared community responsibility, strong leadership, professional learning, and the DEC being accountable to the public. So we do have a vision statement. All individuals engaged within our system are empowered to assist in building resilient, confident, and contributing members of our community. And then our six core values of engagement, shared leadership, support and recognition, collaboration, collaborative relationships, trust, openness, and transparency, as well as the pursuit of excellence. We truly do believe that all children can learn. We have staff that promotes and supports effective teaching strategies. We wanted to help our classroom teachers in their teaching, taking into account the expectation of differentiation of instruction, universal design for learning, the whole concept of inclusion. We believe in and promote a positive and safe learning and working environment. We know that learning is a lifelong process, and we value the importance of quality professional learning. We need to make sure that our teachers and employees have a chance to learn within their profession, whether it's specific training or other forms of professional learning. We have that connection with the community. In particular, I can note that we have six community school coordinators that are spread out over 13 schools. They're making strong connections with the community stakeholders. We also have some great relationships with the business community and the world of education. I'll use UMB as an example. Businesses and educational institutions invest in us through service, in person, or financially. We also make use of the Learning Partnership. That's a national organization that supports student growth in the areas of literacy, transition to school, entrepreneurship, and leadership development. And I'm actually a member of that national board of directors. I must have flipped too far, did I? Seemed to jump. But there it is. We continue with our leadership development program. About 30 teachers per year enroll. Further to this, and quite notably, is a leadership development initiative that we launched last year in conjunction with UNB. And we're very pleased to be repeating it again this year. It's an opportunity for school-based leadership teams to come together and to collaborate with others and focus on building leadership capacity. We have our team of educational curriculum leads that support and coach classroom teachers. We also have our education support services leads that help in the area of resource guidance and crisis response as well. And as I noted a little bit earlier, this group of educational leaders has expanded due to the investment in early years literacy and numeracy and the positive learning and working environment that stems from the 10-year education plan that's titled Everyone at Their Best. We continue to support early career teachers through mentoring. That's an important part of their development as educators. We do have a professional growth model for supervision of instruction, which means we have an expectation that principals and vice principals are in classrooms, actively supervising teachers and supporting them in their growth. We certainly want to continue to build leadership capacity within our district. Not everybody is knocking down the doors to become principals and vice principals these days, and we want to try and build that capacity and make it a profession, an educational leadership choice that people aspire to. Our school admin meetings are balanced with PD and continued learning, as well as the necessary business. And we support PD opportunities for all staff in a variety of different ways. And of course, I'm responsible to you as my employer, the District Education Council, and I report to you formally following a planning cycle, which you actually approved here this evening. So my hope is that this year the reporting will be meaningful and something that promotes conversation and allows for you to see that the district is in good hands under my leadership. So a few appendices here. You saw our vision, mission, core values document. This is just the announcement of the continuation of the UNB ASDW Leadership Project. A few details. Jay is very active in that. I should take a moment to thank Jay and welcome him here tonight. Jay, of course, is Director of Schools for the Woodstock Education Center. He's our staff person tonight. Of course, Carol is always here. It's good to note her presence as well. We couldn't go without her. The next appendix, this is a look at the school calendar for the year, and the reason I wanted to include that is it shows the variety of different professional development days. You can look at that sideways if you'd like to tilt your head. And then finally, the district planning cycle, which we talked about tonight. So that's my report on the vision and beliefs, ER4.
Mark has a question.
I may have missed it, so if I did, I apologize. But is every person in our system, you know, specifically related to the classroom, so teachers, EAs, or whatever supports, do they have required or is it optional? How does that work?
Yes, well, if you look at the calendar, you'll see that there are set days for professional development.
Right.
And those are work days where our employees are expected to be reporting to work. It's just that their duties are different that day. Instead of the responsibility of teaching and learning and supporting kids, it's their responsibilities fall to learning themselves, professional development. So the quick answer is yes.
So there's an expectation. Now, as far as requirement, could it be possible that a teacher, I mean, I know it probably doesn't happen here, but, you know, they don't like PD days, so they happen to miss 8 in a row over, you know, it doesn't happen?
If it does happen, that would be a circumstance that we would certainly look into.
So it's you guys watch for things.
Well, yeah, there would be some flags that would be raised for something like that. Yeah, we don't really see that very often. We don't see teachers who say, "Forget it, I'm not going," and call in sick or do something else. Most of our, if not all of our, teachers and support staff appreciate the opportunity to improve professionally and to learn. And really welcome it when it's within a work day.
Madam Chairperson, I'd just say that, you know, it's obviously there's a high expectation, and it would be, you know, something that's a deck to look at, an expectation for us to have professional development. Maybe new policy for me to look at.
I'll count on you to keep that in mind.
Thank you.
I know it's not my place to comment, but I agree. But I will anyway.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
What were the topics for the PD days decided?
Well, the topics range. So PD days come in a variety of different forms. There are council days that are under the leadership of the Teachers Association. Some of those council days are put together by school-based committees who will put together a program that's applicable to their school. That's so we see a variety of different things going on within the school. Every year there's a provincial association council day in May where teachers from all over the province go to either an elementary conference, a middle level conference, or a high school conference. Sometimes there is specific topics that are there. So for instance, the PD day in January is to be focused on school improvement planning. The PD day is coming up here in October. There's going to be a requirement to spend some time with the 10-year ed plan. Once every 3 years, and we just finished it actually in August, we bring all of our teachers together for one of the council days and have a keynote speaker and an opportunity for teachers to collaborate. Sometimes the best professional learning that can occur is when you take teachers who are in, you know, the same grade level or teaching the same subjects and just give them some time together to talk about, you know, about what's working and what's not working and sharing of resource. Sometimes it's as simple as that, but there's a lot of different topics, and there's always planning that's in place to make sure that it's a meaningful day.
Any further questions?
Okay. This one always makes me a little weak in the knees, but it's one that we have to do, and it's the emergency superintendent succession policy. And once a year I need to make sure that you feel comfortable that should anything happen to me unexpectedly, the district would remain in good hands. So I can tell you that we have a very good team of directors. We call them the senior administration team, SAT for short. Consists of educational directors, directors of schools, curriculum, instruction, ed support services, and early childhood, as well as business directors, the finance and administration, human resources, the priority unit champion, so that's Gina Dunnett that I mentioned, also called an alignment champion, and of course Carol and I round out that team. There's also a corporate model for IT. There's a director of IT that reports to all four superintendents, and she's the director for the entire province. We meet once a month, 11 months a year, pre-scheduled meetings, keep our minutes. We discuss all matters important to the district, a lot of collaboration on educational leadership as well as business management. We also have standing items on our agenda. We interact with each other daily in regular communication with team members, and we work together at problem solving and strategic planning. Each member of the senior admin team understands his or her portfolio very well. We have strong leaders in these roles, and each member leads a team that contributes to the goals of the division or the center. Each educational director attends at least one public DEC meeting per year to support me in the administrative process of DEC governance. Each director of schools will normally attend the public DEC meeting in his or her education center. The DFA, Sean Tracy, is a regular participant. All members of SAT have received a copy of the DEC planning cycle. We'll make sure that they have the revised planning cycle, and they've been pre-scheduled to attend public DEC meetings. So we've taken our schedules, and now that they're approved, we'll confirm them. And right up front at the beginning of the year, all the directors know where and when they should be throughout the year when it comes to DEC. When it comes to an acting superintendent capacity, really any of the five educational directors could step in. They'd be familiar with my responsibilities and with the DEC. It might not be to the depth that I have where I'm working with it regularly, but they certainly are in a position to step up. As per the policy, two have been identified as candidates to step into the role at your request. I've met with those two individuals, and each are aware of this policy and the expectations of the policy. I'd like to always conclude this with a recommendation, but it's important for me to note this because I don't want to overstep my bounds, but because it's entirely up to you if anything should happen to me, how you would like to replace me, whether it's temporarily for a short period of time or for a longer period of time. I would say anywhere from 1 to 6 months that you would probably enact this policy and appoint one of the two. If it's less than 3 weeks or a month, then the team together would probably pick up any loose ends. If it's more than 6 months that I needed to be away, then you might want to consider a competition. But I only leave those to you as recommendations, knowing that it'd be your prerogative to replace me in any way that you see fit.
Yes, Mark?
Would you be willing to go on Dr. Oz and release your medical
history? Yes, I would have a great time talking about my medical history.
It's the only question.
I'm generally healthy for a 44 and a half year old. Although I have two young children, age 14 and 12, that make my hair go gray a little bit.
The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come.
It gets better.
Okay, can hardly wait.
Any questions from anyone else? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving on to correspondence, we did send correspondence to the minister with some names for recommendations for filling our vacancies. We've had some communication with them, so we know they have received our names, and I expect that we will have those places filled soon.
That's right. We also wrote to the PSSC chair of Chipman Forest Avenue School to formally share your approval of the naming of the soccer field to be the Bernard Sisk Field. We copied you and the school principal in that letter. So it's official, and I know that they're planning a grand opening, a celebration.
Now, we don't have a representative in that area now.
No. It's my intention to go out. I think it's a Saturday afternoon.
Good.
Are you sure?
Okay. Do we have any comments from the public tonight?
Okay. Most of you probably know who I am, and those that don't, that maybe do, my name is Darren McKenzie. I was re-elected to Hamilton Council and sat on the DEC subcommittee that did the review for the school proposal for Hamwell, which I'm sure you've all seen is now on the portal. That's a long introduction to basically ask a very simple question. Dave, is there a time picked yet for the meeting there and the presentation?
Yes, Monday, October 24th. At Fredericton High.
What time though?
6:30.
At 6:30?
Yes.
Okay. That was my only question.
Yeah, and we'll try and publicize that a little bit.
Yeah, I imagine it's more than just Hanwell that it's going to be there too. It's probably going to be Tom Morrison Theater, I imagine, too, right?
That's correct.
Thanks.
Thank you. I want to thank you all for cooperating so stunningly tonight. What time is it? I think I beat a Jane Buckley record. Our next public meeting is on October the 27th in Fredericton. And I would ask us to move in camera before we adjourn for the evening.
I would so move.
Moved by Mark and seconded by Sean.